young lady at the end, Dori Beth, is the baby they were talking about at the beginning. And so most of you connected that dot, but maybe some of you didn't. What an amazing story. Redemption is always in the Father's heart. No matter what happens, He's after restoration and redemption. Anyway, let's pray. You can open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 4. Father, we come to You and ask You, You would show us Your heart more and more. You would impart how You think and feel into us, that we could express it to others more and more. And we thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, this is a very well-known passage in this community and as well many places as well. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. It's the final verse of the Old Testament. It ends up with a quite surprising but glorious prophecy and declaration by the Lord. I mean, this must have been so surprising to the believers of that day. So the Old Testament ends with this prophecy. The Lord says, I'm going to send Elijah back to you before the second coming. Like, this is like, really? Like the real Elijah or a figurative Elijah? And it's the real prophet Elijah is coming back. And of course, the larger storyline, that's a big part of the storyline, is that there's going to be a global prophetic movement exploding on the earth, of which Elijah represents, although Elijah will be coming back specifically. And when he comes back, verse 6, this was a surprise as well. Not just that he's returning, but why? It says in verse 6, he's going to turn the hearts of fathers to children. And he's going to turn, and the children will respond in such gratitude and honor, they'll turn their hearts back to the fathers. And the result is there will be this supernatural unity in the body of Christ. In the darkest hour on the earth, in terms of what the enemy's doing, the church will be the brightest light, walking as a family in love with one another, deeply committed in unity, as a stark contrast to what's going on in the kingdom of darkness. It will be a most remarkable contrast. Now, how is Elijah going to cause fathers across the earth to turn to children? You know, you ask the question, how's that going to happen? And I think the answer is pretty easy to know, that when the Father's heart is revealed, when we understand more of the Father heart of God, it tenderizes us and it shifts our own emotional chemistry. And when we see what He thinks and feels about us, His Father heart, it makes us feel and think about people differently. And so I believe that's core to what He's going to do. But Elijah will have such great signs and wonders that the whole body of Christ in the earth will be paying attention to Him. But it's more than Him. It will be the entire prophetic movement. Well, I remember having an encounter with the Lord once. It was 40 years ago, just over 40 years ago. And when my life was deeply touched by the revelation of the Father heart of God. It was the day after our first son, Luke, was born. And we went to the, you know, I was there when he was born. And, you know, you think, everyone tells you, you'll just be blown away. But when you see that little guy or gal, something explodes inside. They told you it would and you knew it would, but it really does. And it's more than you think. And I said, oh, my goodness. And so now I'm the next morning, I'm at the church offices because back in the 70s, they didn't have a month off for dads when mom had a baby. I like that, but that didn't happen back then. So I'm at the office, and I am aching for this little guy. You know, he's like 18 hours old or 12 hours old, whatever. I am dying the next morning. I'm in meetings with people, a couple of meetings, and I can't even listen to them. My heart is pounding. And one of the verses that I had taught a number of times back then was the passage in Luke 11, verse 13, where it talks about prayer. And it says, if you being evil love your children, how much more does God love you? And I knew that passage pretty well. So I'm driving down the road just aching to see my little 18-year-old boy, Lukey boy. Just can't wait to see him. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me in such a clear way. All he says is one phrase, and I got the whole thing. I'm going, oh, God, I just love this little guy. I love him so much. And the Lord just resounds in my heart, one phrase, how much more then? And I knew what that meant. How much more then do I love you? And I remember it hit me so hard. I pulled over to the side of the road, and I just... I just started weeping. I just never got over this yet. God, you love me like I love Lukey. How much more? And I said, Lord, this can't, you can't feel this way. And I tell you, and many of you know already, when the Father shows you how he thinks and feels about you, it will turn your hearts to others. You will feel different for children you've never, ever met before. You'll say, the Father says, that's how I feel about them too. Would you let that flow through you? And this is one of the grand strategies of God in the end times, in the generation the Lord returns, to release a prophetic movement that reveals the Father's heart and then awakens the body of Christ to look to the young ones in a whole new way. Because powerful men, whatever that means, they don't naturally give their time and resource to little ones outside of their sphere. I mean, their own family they will, but out there who can't help enhance their resource base. Those little ones, they can't vote for them. They can't sell their product. They can't get investors for their business. They can't serve in their ministry, you know, 2, 3, 5, 6, 8-year-olds. And so a lot of powerful men, they don't naturally look to those children because they don't know how God feels about them. And the Lord says, I feel about them the same way I feel about kings and apostles and prophets. That makes no difference to me how old they are, or what abilities they have, or even how rebellious they might be growing up on the streets or whatever. I feel that way about them. And so when Elijah comes, he's going to do what Jesus came to do. And we know Jesus came to seek and save that was lost, but Jesus came for more than that. He said it over and over, I came to reveal my Father. I came to show the human race what my Father's like. Because God's eternal plan, back in Genesis 1, God in creation, his ultimate plan was for the Father to have a family and the Son to have a bride. That's why he created the human race in Genesis 1. So the Father would have a family, not because the Father was lonely, because he had this intense love that demanded expression. He wanted to share it. The way the Father, Son, and the Spirit enjoyed love within the fellowship of their family in the Trinity, they wanted to share it. The Father wasn't just God the Creator. He was always a Father at the heart level. And he would express himself to others who could never earn it or deserve it. And he wanted a prepared bride for his worthy Son. That was on his mind back in Genesis chapter 1. So when he sends Elijah, Elijah's going to be doing what Jesus did. And the revelation of the Father, that's not like, that's kind of a cool add-on. That's the ultimate. Yes, he came to seek and save us so we could be in the Father's family. Yes, he came to seek and save us so we could interact with him as a prepared bride for a worthy son. Well, ultimately, here in Revelation 21, it says that God's going to dwell among us. You know what that means? We all know that verse. It's shared at funerals all the time, Revelation 21:3. That means God's throne, after Jesus' 1,000-year millennial kingdom, God's throne and his own person is coming to the earth. In the natural realm, yeah, there'll be the supernatural glory everywhere. He's coming to the earth, his throne, to be openly looked upon by the human race and interacted with. That's ultimately where salvation is going. So at the end of this age, before Jesus comes, The Father is going to be revealed. It's going to turn the hearts of millions of believers, men and women, into those with the Spirit of the Father, giving themselves to younger ones, restoring the family of God in such profound unity in the hour when there's such escalating darkness. The contrast will be unmistakable. Let's look at paragraph B. I want you to notice on the notes here. And by the way, those that are new here, I never finish the notes, so I just give them to you to look at later. We'll get so far, and then we'll pray. Paragraph B, that's just for those of you going, okay, that's how this works. Okay, paragraph B. I want you to notice the word before. Elijah in power, and a great revival is coming before the second coming. Joel, he describes the same revival. He doesn't mention Elijah by name, but he mentions the spirit of prophecy. But Joel says what Micah, the passage Malachi, the passage we just started in, Joel adds, he goes, it won't just be Elijah. It will be all flesh, meaning all believers is what that means. Every believer on the earth will be operating in the prophetic spirit. All flesh, every believer, all his bondservants, male and female, old and young. Dreams, visions. And Joel makes it clear, it's going to be before the second coming. A number of prophets describe the end time revival, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. But this idea, it's going to happen before, because the Lord is preparing his church in a very, very intentional way. Paragraph C. John, in the book of Revelation, describes this as well. But here he calls it the two witnesses, two real prophets. Some people say, is Elijah one of them? I said, I don't know. I don't overly care. We'll figure out when they come. It'll be clear then. We don't have to know right now. A lot of conjecture on that. I don't think much about that. I just know that it's two prophets plus Elijah, or two prophets plus Elijah plus a globe filled with prophetic believers, millions of them operating in the Holy Spirit. The sons and daughters moving together. But what Malachi tells us, yeah, it's powerful, but it's going to turn the human heart in a direction it does not naturally go without the Spirit's help. They're going to turn their attention, their value, and give themselves to children. That's a most remarkable thing. Well, look at paragraph C, Revelation 11. This great revival with such powerful signs and wonders, you can read it on your own. Paragraph D. Now, the key that Malachi hits, again, is to turn hearts. Not just to excite people with power and healing, although that's exciting and we want that. He says, I'm after something very specific. I want to take millions in the body of Christ, reveal the Father heart of God to them, tenderize and impart them with the love of the Father, and they will see children very differently. That's what he's going to do. He's going to turn hearts. Now, when I see the word turn the hearts of the fathers, the word fathers in Malachi 4, I see it personally as the word fathers as focusing on maturity more than gender. Meaning he doesn't mean I'm just going to touch men. Sorry, ladies, you could pick up some of the crumbs afterwards for the fall from the table. That's not what he's saying. He's saying I'm going to raise up the spirit of the Father, and it will be in men and women operating. Now, we say spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers, and that's appropriate to say it that way. It gets confusing to people if you don't. But here in Malachi 4, it's talking about this comprehensive move throughout the body of Christ with the spirit of prophecy, of which Elijah is a figure of, a literal person, but he represents something far greater. And Joel says it's all everyone moving in the spirit, but their hearts are turned. God's going to tell these people in the earth, I value children. As much as the powerful kings of the earth, as much as apostles and prophets and all the great heroes of faith of Hebrews 11, I value those children, the fatherless, the angry ones, the wounded ones, the ones that have no ability to do this, that, and the other. I love them as much as I love everyone else. And I want my body to be so captured with the way I love my body that they express my heart for children. And the earth is absolutely taken back by such a dramatic shift in the human race of millions of people loving children. This is going to result in the children turning to the fathers. I mean, they're going to, children again, disenfranchised children, abandoned children, broken children, ones with no mental or emotional or physical capacity to respond. Many of these children, they're going to have gratitude and they're going to turn their hearts to the fathers. But God's strategy is first to reveal his heart to the fathers, then turn the hearts of the fathers, then the children will respond in due time. And the net result is, paragraph E, a new unified social order. That's a weird way to say it. That's technical sounding. This glorious unity that Jesus prayed for. Look in John 20, 17. He said, when my family operates in a supernatural unity, as a family is the idea, the unbelieving world will be shocked by it. This is much more than, you know, the Baptists on one at a time, and the town, the Methodists on the other, and the non-denominationals and this, and they all get together and have a citywide unity meeting, and the world goes, wow, Jesus must be God. He's talking about something far bigger than that. He's talking about the family of God operating as a mature family. People in congregations all over the world from different ethnic groups and intellectual abilities, financial statuses, loving one another like the Father loves them. They're energized by it. The family of God is God's trophy of grace. He's showing the unbelieving world. And of course we know there's a great end time harvest. I believe it's going to be over 1 billion people. And one way that the world's coming in, yes, the miracles of Elijah and many, many miracles, more than Elijah, the body of Christ as well. But when they see the way they love one another, they say, man, I want to belong. I need to belong to something. I was created to belong to a family. Now the paragraph F, the remarkable reality of this and the essential dimension of this is found right here when you look at Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, verse 10 to 12, Jesus says, you understand at that very hour that I'm praying for my people to be one, to operate as a family, what is what that really means, as a mature family, without any regard to differences. He says, when that happens, Matthew 24, lawlessness, hatred, betrayal will explode in the earth. And I'm going to raise up in all the communities, every tongue and tribe of the earth, an expression of the grace of God, of people operating in family. This is so critical to the prophetic movement, meaning it's such an emphasis of what God's doing in the prophetic movement. Now, fatherless children, or children who feel fatherless, even if they're technically not fathers, maybe the father lives in a home, but there's many reasons they may be totally disengaged. There's a lot, the big long list of how that could happen. Fatherless children are more vulnerable to lawlessness because they have this sense of they've real pain and abuse and this profound, tragic sense of abandonment. And when a 5-year-old, a 7, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 had this abandonment, this pain, this abuse, they want what's theirs. And they join into the cultural narrative of, I want to take what's mine, and hatred and lawlessness will increase. And that's the fertile soil for lawlessness. Not the only thing, fatherless children, but that will be a significant thing. But the Lord says, I have a preemptive strike. I'm raising up a prophetic movement that's going to shift the attention of the body of Christ off of themselves onto my family and the grand storyline. I'm a father with a family and my son has a bride. That's the narrative they're going to be captured with. I believe that unity, or let's say it this way, the body of Christ functioning, walking in love as a family. I don't mean just general acts of kindness and politeness and I mean bonded at the heart level. That's the plan. I believe that kind of unity is the only place in the earth that will be a place of safety from the spirit of lawlessness in the culture. And God will have expressions of this in every tribe and tongue of the earth. That's clear from the scripture. This move of God is going to be pervasive. You know, one of the reasons why this is so essential, I have in the paragraph G at the end here, it's so essential to lean into what's prophesied here in Malachi 4:6, that the prophetic movement is meant to turn us to children. The reason it's essential is the first generation in human history, and particularly in the West, of which children are influenced more outside of their home than inside their home. It's never happened in history before, and it's happening all over the West right now for the first time in history. And outside the West, but predominantly in the West. And we have 5 to 20-year-olds being raised and more influenced outside the home than inside the home. And the net result of this is what the enemy wants to exploit. But the Father, again, he says, I've got a preemptive plan. I'm going to pour out my spirit. Dreams and visions, not just to have exciting prophetic conferences. I like exciting prophetic conferences, but there's a bigger storyline to those conferences and the prophetic anointing. Let's look at the top of page 2. He's going to turn the hearts of fathers. He's going to inspire fathers, natural fathers as well as spiritual fathers. It's going to inspire them to invest in children. You know, in our own context, last year, right here on this stage, last September 2018, we call it the convergence. When 1,000 Chinese believers kind of took us by surprise, and they came from all over the world, all over Asia. 1,000 of them came here to this building. And we, in our own family, we couldn't fit that many in. Maybe we can get 500, 1,500 seats here. And 1,000 of them and only a few of us, 500, fit in this room. And we didn't know what was going on. We thought the purpose was A and B. But it ended up, the Lord had a prophetic agenda, and it unfolded. Nobody saw it coming. And I remember we had 3 or 4 days of meetings and 3-hour meetings, 3 times a day. And the place was just filled with people and no agenda. And we're up on the platform. And I remember, well, this happened a number of times, 2 or 3 key times. But one time there's 50 of our leaders and maybe a bunch of them, I can't remember. We're all up on the platform together. And the Lord is saying this whole gathering is about turning the hearts of the fathers in this community to the children, men and women. And I remember myself and Alan and a number of other leaders, the 50, I don't know the real number, that were up here. And you understand that this cannot be successful with 50 leaders doing it. You know, I'm just making up an arbitrary number. We need 300 more, but 300 is a good beginning, believers in this community that says, I want to begin intentionally, with intentionality, to function in the spirit of a father. Whether male or female, old or young, I want to be intentional about this. And I'm convinced 300 have said yes, probably more. It's not about being on the org chart or being over a department or being on the stage. It's nothing about that. It's about receiving the heart of the Father, being touched and saying, Lord, I don't care where I fit in the org chart. I'm going to go give myself in an intentional way, in a focused way, to 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7. I don't mean just random acts of kindness, which is good, but more than that. I'm talking about investing specifically to children, our children's equipping center. I mean, we have the Spirit of the Father is on those workers in a most remarkable way under Lenny and Tracy. Well, you know, we have the Boy Scouts. I don't know what we call it, but the Boy Scouts, we got different ways the children are being touched by men and women in the community and lots of other things as well. And that's beautiful. We want to see that double and triple. But I'm talking about a lot of 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 80-year-olds looking at the 20-somethings and saying, I want to invest in you, the 15-year-olds, the 17-year-olds. And I want to I don't care if I get applauded for it or recognized for it. I don't need permission. Beloved, the Great Commission is the Great Permission. And the Great Commission is mostly about discipling children. You know why the Great Commission is mostly about disciple children? Because the Great Harvest, just by demographics, the sheer numbers, is going to be youth and poor. And so if they're going to turn the hearts of fathers to children, the vast majority of the billion plus that are coming in the end of time harvest are poor and they're young. So that's just the demographics of the earth. And so we're talking, Lord, in our little way here, it's significant, even though it's little. We want to do this. We want to excel in this. And the Lord will have many groups in this city and all the cities of the earth moving in this direction. That's what his plan is. It's a remarkable reality. You know, I'll just kind of say this tongue-in-cheek, paragraph I, that the prophetic move, the end-time move of God, is going to see the value of children, rescue children. But here's the thing, the newsflash. The prophetic ministry is not just about a bunch of remarkable people on the platform calling out words of knowledge, and everybody wants to be like that guy or gal on the platform. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the prophetic ministry that the Spirit has intentionally guided it to the value of children and rescuing children. Right now, today, I've been involved in prophetic ministry 30 plus years and lots of conferences. And at this time, although I see a slight change, but this time mostly it's about people going to the conference so they get a word of knowledge, so they feel some clarity about their life. And the guys and gals up front, their ministry growing because they have accurate words of knowledge, and so then these good things happen for their ministry. And that's not like evil or anything, but that's not enough. That rarely do you see prophetic ministry today locked into children. So it's beginning to shift, but I'm not worried because the Holy Spirit says, I'm a good leader. Trust me, it's going to go there. Just don't worry, Mike. I got this thing. He's going to shift it, but I don't want to wait till Elijah shows up before we get on with the program. I'm going to say, Lord, he may not come for some decades. I don't know. This is what you're doing. It's all over the Bible. We want to do it because it's what you're doing. It's because you're a father. Because this is what brings safety and blessing and goodness to the young people. Well, this is where it's going. You know, one thing, I just put this together just some recently. Bob Jones. You know, I connected with him 36 years ago, and we were really close for about 10 years and still friends afterwards, but he moved to the East Coast. But one thing I can say, Bob had many weaknesses, and I don't want to make a big point about that, but he was a real human with weaknesses. But the Lord used him powerfully. But one thing about Bob, well, there's several things I could say real powerful. He talked about children constantly. I remember that, and I just connected. I go, wait, Bob, I never even said it to you. That's biblical. He might have said, yep, I already knew that. But I remember the first day I met him, he came in and talked, you're going to have 24/7 prayer, singers, musicians, Truman's property, unplugged TV sets, Asia, blah, blah. I'm like, get this guy out of my office. I really thought that. And he said, and God's going to equip a company of people to sow into the bank accounts. I said, what? He goes, the bank accounts. That's what this is all about. I go, okay. I didn't really appreciate him in those first couple of meetings. And I wasn't mad, but I just thought this guy is in a world I know nothing of, and I don't really believe him. That's really what I thought. And I said, bank accounts. He goes, the children. Don't you get it? The great move of God is about the children. They're our bank accounts. We sow into them now, and we see a great harvest of the Lord's purpose. He always called, a bunch of you have known Bob through the years, and he always called the children the bank accounts. He referred to them all the time. And I look back to the 80s, I go, that might be the only guy I ever heard of with a powerful prophetic ministry that talked regularly about children. And I didn't connect the dots. That was biblical. I just thought it was his deal. I thought, Bob, it's so neat that you love children. He goes, there's something bigger going on than me loving children. There are bank accounts. And I don't mean just the 5 and the 6-year-olds, although he was referring to that. I mean the 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. We're sowing in the 12-year-olds, the 14-year-olds, the 18-year-olds, the 22-year-olds in an intentional way, as well as the 5 and 6-year-olds. So when you say children, think a large span, age span. Well, paragraph J, there's different expressions of how the fathers turn their heart to children. And first, I have 3 types of fathers mentioned here, natural fathers. Now, natural fathers, many of them in the body of Christ, they love their children. But over the years, I've had many talk to me, and they say, I love my boys and girls or my one or two children. I just don't know how to do it. I feel like I'm a failure. Now their children are 10, 15, 18, 20, 25, and they go, I don't even know how to talk to them. I love them. I mean, I think about them all the time. They don't necessarily believe me, but I do. How do we talk to them? And I got good news to you, natural fathers. The Holy Spirit's going to help you. One step at a time. Like, Lord, give me the whole master plan. No, I'll give you hints. Just here and there to the keys that unlock their heart. Well, they're 18 and they're a little bit mad because I was not engaged with them when they were 8. The truth is I was real busy. And the other truth is I'm not good at that. And the Lord says, no, there's going to be a massive recovery of this. I remember when our boys were just like 2, 3, and 4 or 5 years old, our two sons. They're 39 and 40 right now. We talked to some leaders, and they gave us one of the most incredible pieces of wisdom. They said, invest the currency that the bank of your child's heart accepts. Don't invest in your children your currency. Invest the currency that the bank of their heart accepts. Like, what? Do what they like, not what you like. And I thought, okay. You know, they're 2 and 4. What do they like, you know? And they said, no, all your life, be intentional to find out the keys to their own heart and have quality time with them in a way that moves them, not that moves you. Well, I mean, that's a great principle. And I preached it a few times. Everybody like, wow, that's so insightful. But didn't quite walk it out for 20 years, you know? And then this horrible thing I began to discover about my kids. They like camping. I go, hey, guys, what do you want to do? Camping. I go, like, camping? Yeah. Looked at Diane. She goes, yeah. I went, okay. So about 10 times, we went camping. I don't like camping. They loved it. I said, okay, I'm in. But then when we went camping, they wanted to go fishing. Ah! You get in the boat, the water's dirty. I caught a fish. They're wet. I don't want to touch that fish. No, I'm real. I pulled it in. And in the name of mentoring, I go, here, son, take this fish off the hook. And it tore their jaw. I go, ugh. Just no. I told Diane, is there any way we can just make fish sticks and just, I'll be there at the campfire. Tell stories. We'll be full. We won't know the difference anyway. She said, no. There's about 10 of those. I was thinking I would spend quality time with them. We would watch History Channel. I would unpack Dunkirk and the significance of it, and D-Day at Normandy, and what really happened, the consequences in Russia, and how the Cold War started. No, didn't work. What's quality time? I'm with them. But if we're not investing according in the currency that the bank of their heart takes, it's not going to be effective. And a lot of dads, I mean, some guys told us that, or I wouldn't even have thought of it. And then, I mean, I love football. They love basketball and baseball. Okay, I don't even know the rules of those basketball. I mean, a little bit, you know, 2 points if you hit it. Baseball. Dad, we're going to go to a baseball game. I took him to the Royals. Oh, baseball, they go like for 3 hours. It's so slow. And they hit the ball. It's like, it's hot. It's 90 degrees. We did it about 8 or 10 times. I caved in. I just can't do this. I didn't tell them that. But I remember one day that one of the games we went to, and 100 degrees out, it's like 7th inning or 8th inning. It's forever long game and 1-1 or something, you know. I don't know any of the strategy, so it's not interesting because there's incredible strategy. But if you don't know it, you're like. So I'm cheating. I cheated a few times on those things. Like a couple times the camping trips, like the last 5, we went on 10 of them. I went to the hotel a mile down the road, but only like at midnight after the campfire and the marshmallows, and I promised to be back by 6 before anybody woke up, but I caved in. I drove down the road. I was there before anybody, you know, making the coffee. Hey, everybody. Air conditioned bed. That's called cheating, but I did it. Diane said, you can. Then our sons got a little older. They go, Dad, can we do the air conditioning with you? And I thought, why don't we just stay home? Anyway, we won't go into all that. I'm at the baseball game. I'm cheating. I pull out a Charisma magazine. You know, it's ninth, it's eighth inning. It's 1-1, 100 degrees out. I'm nearly get sweating. And we've done the popcorn thing 3 times or whatever you buy. And so I've got the magazine. We're right there on, let me see, there's, yeah, right there on right field. We're the first seats in the stands in the stadium, right field, way at the end. We're right there kind of leaning on the railings, looking over into the, they're leaning, and I'm reading the magazine. I go, Dad, it's coming. I go, what? They go, Dad, it's coming. I go, what's coming? They said, the ball's coming. I go, what? And I looked up, the ball hit my magazine. On the far way at the end, it fouled. Hit the magazine, but the stadium camera followed it. And the stadium all went, boo! You ripped your sons off. The ball fell in your hands. Because it popped back into the stadium. And being a little bit of a hot dog, I stood up and did that, and they all went boo again, and the camera was on me. Then I blew them a kiss and sit down, and my boys go, where's the baseball? I go, oh, I blew it. The Lord says, stop cheating. I think he said, I don't know if he really said that, but that's kind of what I should have heard. Okay. Spiritual fathers. 30-year-olds can be a spiritual father, male or female, to a 12 or a 14 or 16-year-old. And because there's so many strange things in the culture today, we want right boundaries. I don't want to define all those. You know, one strange guy with these little boy. There's lots of horrible things that happen. So let me skip that. You know what I'm talking about, the save together, all those things. Just got a couple of minutes, so I don't want to take time on that. But over the years, I've talked about we need to be spiritual fathers, men and women. That's what the Lord prophetically spoke to us here on this stadium. I mean, on this platform. I'm still in the stadium, traumatized by my kids crying that I lost the baseball. But anyway, I offered to buy him a couple of baseballs. He said, not the same, Dad. Okay. So the prophetic move that touched us here with the convergence is about being spiritual fathers and mothers. And I've talked to people, not just the last year, but for 40 years, about being spiritual fathers and mothers. And I've heard it many, many times. Well, you know, I went to those 18-year-olds, you know, this 50-year-old guy and says, hey, I want to be your spiritual father. And they went like, what? I go, don't announce it to them. And don't focus on them accepting you as a father. Put your energy on hearing their story. Put your energy on understanding their struggle. Put your energy on hearing their dream and helping a little bit. Sometimes their dreams should be adjusted. Don't do that right now. Just hear them and celebrate them. And in time, they will look at you different and say, because the heart of every human, not just child, longs for love and they long to belong. And so many, particularly in this hour today, the social media world, we're in a generation now that's the most brilliant, innovative, informed. There's more knowledge available. They're more connected with knowledge and the earth and events. But there's more and more of a disconnect relationally and with fathers and with the family, with God. But the next generation that's coming, you know, my grandchildren's generation, when they're 30, 40, 50, it's going to be more intense. We have to be really intentional about sowing into them, finding out what they care about. We can tell them other things later, but we got to give ourselves in twos. I mean, find two or three or four. Stay with it for a while. Don't concern yourself with, did you get recognized on the church org chart? Do they call you a father? Or does anybody applaud you? The Father sees it and the Father's touched you. Go do this. I talked about one of the categories is fathers in the society or the culture. It's the guy who knows technology. And he goes, you know, I can't really train two 20-year-olds on the Sermon on the Mount. I love the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know how to talk about it, but I can teach him an hour a week on technology, and that's what he wants to be. And I'm good at this. I'll take two of them. I'll just sow into them for the next year or two. Or a guy's a banker. He goes, I could teach him banking a little bit on the side. I mean, he still has to go to school. Another one's a farmer. Another one is a carpenter. Another one's a lawyer. And they take the craft they know and they sow it as a spiritual father into those 20-year-olds, those 18-year-olds, an hour or two a week, a little bit more, a little bit less. Beloved, that's real spiritual fatherhood. See, I don't know all the Bible. I can't put Galatians with Ephesians and make it work with a Sermon on the Mount. Don't worry about that. Give them 2 hours a week. I can do 2 hours a week. I can't do 20. Just take a little step and whisper to the Lord. Lord, what's keys to their heart? You do that with your natural children. You do that with the spiritual children. And we move forward and we go on and on. Ask the Spirit. There's so many people intimidated by this. Worship team, go ahead and come on up. So many people are intimidated by this. They're going, I don't know. You know, I'm 50. They're 20. They're cool. I'm not cool. Just start showing up and take an interest in them. Again, don't make them be interested in you. Just give them some money. Buy them some food and maybe give it to them and move away. And if they're thinking, what are you doing here? Is this some agenda? You know, and do it together in teams with other people with you. Ask the Holy Spirit, show me a couple that I can invest in, two or three young people. Again, the young people may be 12, they may be 30. They may be 40-year-old young people. You may be 70. Say, Holy Spirit, show me who and show me how. And the Holy Spirit typically gives a step at a time. Don't wait for the whole program, but there's so much on the internet. There's so many books on this. Fathers, you look at your children. You know, they're 12, they're 18, they're 25 now. You go, oh, I don't know. I just kind of missed the window. I didn't mean to. My heart said it, but I don't know. Or maybe I even did some wrong things, and I don't know how to recover it. The Holy Spirit's into recovery. He really, really is. So I don't know what to do. Ask other fathers. Ask your wife. Read books. Ask the Spirit. They'll give you hints. Maybe not the whole picture, but the next step. And say, okay. Say, okay, do it again. And I tell you, you'll look back, and a few months will go by, a few years will go by, and some recovery will happen in your natural family. And you may be 70, and they may be 50. It's not too late to start. The Holy Spirit is into turning the hearts of fathers, old fathers and young fathers, to children, and even old children. The Spirit says, I'll turn their hearts. Give me a chance. Amen. Let's stand before the Lord. Father, here we are before you. Now, again, I'm just throwing out the number, just random number 300. I don't even know where I got it. I just made it up. I know that when the 50 up here on the platform or whatever the number was said, yes, I know there were several hundred in our community over the next month as they heard the story and somewhere at the meetings. They said, hey, this is who I am. I want to say to you that if you're a part of this spiritual family, because the Lord's going to do this everywhere, but I just want to lock in and have a personal family moment here. If you are saying, I want to be a spiritual father, male or female, in this family, I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to lock into two or three or five or six or help some others do it. I don't even know how. But I'm going to go on the journey and start checking it out with the Spirit and reading about it and asking people. And that's you, and you would like prayer, I'd like you to come up. Let us pray for you. I want to pray for the revelation of the Father to touch you. Then I'm going to ask for the Spirit of the Father to flow through you. Men and women, old and young, you may be a 20-year-old gal, and you want to say, I'll start being a spiritual father to 12-year-old girls. I'm in. I won't go real long on this, but I'll just end the 60-second story. I was in the ministry at the Presbyterian Church down the road, Colonial Presbyterian, for some years, on the youth staff. I was saved a few months, and the youth pastor came to me and says, Bickle, you got to go disciple some 13-year-olds. I was 16. I went, disciple? Like, what? I didn't know the difference between disciple, apostle, gospel, epistle. They all sounded the same to me. I go, what? And he said, go get 3 or 4 junior high kids and do this. And real simple. I won't go into it now. I said, where are those 3 or 4? He goes, there's a junior high there. He goes, do these 3 things and just hang out at their games, their basketball, football games, track meets, and ask the Holy Spirit this. Get 3 or 4 of them. I said, what? He goes, just do it. This youth pastor made everybody do it. I ended up with a youth group of 5 or 10 or maybe 12 or 15. Grew to 12 over a year or some number like that. I'm making disciples. I meet with them once a week. I didn't have a clue what I was telling them. I couldn't figure out anywhere in the Bible. I told them, open to the book of Psalms. It's right after Job. I didn't know anything about the Bible. But they gave me a few keys, and they had a 50 or 100 leaders doing that to people 3 years younger than them. I thought everyone did it. I got a little bit older and found out almost nobody did it. I said, Lord, I thank you for Colonial Presbyterian Church. I thought that was so normal in that community. Lord, release the spirit of the Father in this place. To 16-year-old boys like I was that have a clue what I was doing. And I invested in 13-year-old, 10 or 12 of them. I still know some of them to this day, actually. Raise up fathers and mothers in this house. And I ask you for the spirit of recovery of sons and daughters to their natural fathers. In the name of Jesus. Amen. A bunch of you, if you come on up and join the ministry team, I'm going to pray for them.
Just like you do. Love that erases all the lies and sees the truth.
Lord, release the revelation of your heart.
Oh, that when they look in my eyes, it would
give 70-year-olds and 20-year-olds confidence to be spiritual fathers.
Smile, they would feel the Father's love. Lord, help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth. Oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you.
Father, I ask you, reveal your heart.
Even in just a smile,
tenderize us with how you feel about us. Father, show us how you feel.
Even in just a smile, they will feel the Father's love. Oh, we ask you to reveal your heart.
Feel your heart.
Lord, raise up fathers in society, in the culture, in the business world to invest in 20-year-olds. An hour a week.
Raise them up.
Say open arms and open hearts to the children. Lord, we ask for a reconciliation, a recovery, a renewing.
Come and restore
in our midst, even in this summer.
Come and recover. It's been lost.
You would show us how you love and power us, Lord.
Sake of your name, Lord. Lord, all over this congregation, raise up young spiritual fathers, old spiritual fathers. Lord, give us confidence to move forward in this.
You feel the Father's love. That erases all the lies and sees the truth. Oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love.
Help me
Father's love.
Lord, we ask you for your grace and for your heart to be manifest.
Oh, would you reveal the currency of the hearts around
us? Show us the keys of the children's heart that are in our lives.
Give us the keys to our children's
Show us the keys
hearts.
To their heart to unlock them.
Only you know how to love them, Lord. Show us the way.
Let us see through your eyes. Let our love still grow more and more.
More and more, Lord.
Let it abound. Bring us together as your family.
Holy Spirit, move prophetically in our midst. Give us dreams and visions that turn our heart.
Release the spirit of Elijah
to children. The spirit of Elijah in this body right now.
The spirit of prophecy,
the spirit
to the children.
Of prophecy.
Pour your spirit, God,
even
today.
More, Lord, we ask.
And let us encourage and let us build up one another.
Let us invest in the young ones.
Oh, the way you've invested in us, let us pour it out.
Thank you for the way you've invested in us, Lord.
Father, touch our hearts with your love again.
Again and again.
Empower us to pour it out the same.
Again and again we ask.
Father, touch our hearts with your love again. Empower.
Lord, we're hungry for more of the Spirit. Activity. Dreams and visions, signs and wonders, we're asking.
Father, touch our hearts with your love again. Empower us to pour it out the same.
Spirit of the Father, release it in the house.
Freely we've received, Lord. Freely let us give it away.
Freely we've received.
You first loved us. Let us love the way you love.
Seeing the value in the ones around us, the ones in our life.
Let us overflow, freely give away. Help us to value our children.
Love to abound still more. Lord, I ask for the recovery of fathers to their children.
Oh, would you restore the family?
Even the older fathers with their older children.
Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children.
Make a way where there is no way. Make a way where there is no way.
Soften the hearts of the children.
Turn the children back to them.
To receive the love that you
give. Turn the children back to their fathers. Turn the fathers to the children in truth.
Help me to love with open arms just like you do. A love that erases all the lies and sees the truth. Oh, that we may look in my eyes, they would even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. Help me, Father, help me to love with open arms just like you do. A love that erases all the lies and sees the truth. Oh, that we may look in my eyes and would see you. Even in just they would feel the Father's love. Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love. Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love.
help me to love with open arms.